After the driest March since 1953, the message from Manx Utilities is that every drop really counts. In the Isle of Man, we have some of the purest water in the world, but most of us rarely give a thought to what happens to the water taken from the local reservoirs before it's ready for consumption. Who better to ask then than Head of Water Gareth Patchett?
OK, Simon, well, this area here is where the three different waters coming down the three different mains. So some water comes from Clipson and Carradoo, and most of the water comes from Baldwin Reservoir. We blend those waters together and then we add a substance called ferric sulfate and we adjust the pH of the water, and that allows us to take out all the dissolved impurities. And you can see here, this water swirling is the mixers. So the lime and the ferric sulfate's going in, and these have got high energy mixers to mix all that together.
It's a very complex process, but from this point onwards, it then goes into another section of the building, which we've just been into. And what happens there?
So we inject this ferric sulfate, and then the water's stirred, and then we spend the rest of the time removing what we've formed. So as you can see the brown sludge that comes out of the water. It accumulates. We recycle that to get the water out, and then the clarified water, as it's called, goes forward to be filtered.
Now, the Isle of Man is very proud of the quality of its water, and I think with some justification. We're going through a long period of dry weather at the moment, and I think people are being warned to be more careful with water. Is it the issue that it's just the quantity of raw water that is maybe in short supply during dry weather, or is it just the volume of water you have to process given the high demand?
Well, that's a good question. It's a combination of the two. So when we have long dry spells, yes, obviously the levels in the reservoirs deplete, but what also happens is that the demand goes up. And sometimes when we get hot, dry weather, that demand can go up spectacularly, you know, up by 30%, which puts a strain on the resources, but also on the infrastructure that's sending the water around the island. So yeah, that you're correct.
Now, the more perceptive listeners will realise that you're not a Manxman, you're from Yorkshire originally.
Yes.
And you were telling me that the technology that's been applied here in the Isle of Man was developed by Yorkshire Water.
Yeah, it was developed by Yorkshire Water and an organisation called the Water Research Centre. And in the north of England, you know, Yorkshire, Lancashire, up into the northeast, they had the same challenges that the Isle of Man had at that time, with the old treatment works couldn't cope with the quality of the water, couldn't meet the regulations that had come into force. And Yorkshire Water built this first plant, which is similar to this, in 1983. And that technology is still, you know, being built now. And these plants look just like a plant then, you know.
Now, as far as the quality of the water is concerned, in the Isle of Man, of course, the water, I think, is, how to term it, used once, whereas
yes,
in the UK it passes through various stages, and
yes,
we won't go into the details, but in fact ours is actually pure water that is used once.
Yes, that's true, but that does have a challenge as well. So yeah, you're correct, the water falls from the sky into the reservoir, we treat it, we drink it, and it gets treated at sewage works and it goes out to sea. But the downside of that is that the water that falls here is extremely soft. It's got no minerals, so is a challenge to us, because you know that if we're not careful, the water can be corrosive because it's got no buffering capacity. Whereas when it comes from a river, it's got a lot of calcium and manganese and things in. So, but you're right, we are lucky that we don't have a lot of the contaminants to deal with that places in the UK and the rest of the world have.
Where we came in, there's the three main pipes coming into the building, bringing the water into this complex. Where does the water actually come from?
So about 85% of it comes from Baldwin Reservoir. And at some times of the year, all the water's coming from Baldwin Reservoir. The rest of the time, we bring in about 15% from Carradoo Reservoir, which is also linked to Clipps Reservoir. There's a pipe, an existing pipe that used to go to the old Glencrutchery treatment works, which we use. And of course, we also pump water from Sulby Reservoir over Benipot into Baldwin Reservoir. So we've got a bit of Sulby water as well here.
And what kind of volumes are you dealing with on a daily basis in a plant like this?
Well, currently the plant's running at about 23 million litres per day. So that's 23,000 tonnes of water per day going through here. And there's about 10 million litres a day going through the treatment works at Sulby, giving a total of about 33 million litres a day. That can go up to 40 when it's hot.
That's a huge amount of water. I don't think people realise just how technical the process is of bringing it from the reservoir and then processing it here. This is a really large plant. I mean, how would this, in terms of scale, compare with some of the plants in the UK?
Well, unfortunately, it would be quite small. but there are plants in the UK of this size. It's not, they're not really, really small. But I think that, so we, this plant does can do up to about 37 megalitres a day, but there are plants in the UK that can do nearly 1,000 megalitres a day. And in China, there are plants that can do thousands and thousands of megalitres a day. But it's all the same challenges.
So from, we were talking before about the actual processing of the water, we've got to the stage where you're filtering out the impurities. And in terms of the final process, how do you do that to make it totally clear, like when it comes through the taps?
Right, so we talked about the dissolved air flotation, where we're lifting most of the matter that we've formed, and then we've filtered two sets of filters. The first set of filters is just removing anything that's passed through the first stage, and the second set of filters is removing manganese, which is a naturally occurring metal that's in the peat. And it, if we don't take it out, it stains everything black. And then the last step is we add lime and chlorine to disinfect the water to make it safe to drink.
I remember many years ago, and you reminded me of this a short time ago, the manganese used to be in the water, you know, going back a few decades, showing our age here, and you used to get these little black specks.
Yes, well, what happens is the manganese, if you don't remove it, it coats the water mains in the system, and if there's any disturbance, you get black bits in your water. But you will also notice it in baby, the sterilizers for baby bottles and things, or in your, and white sinks, you would see black staining. But all of these things are, they're governed by the water quality regulations, which we adopt here. We adopt the regulations that apply in England and Wales.
Now, what surprised me when I came up, and when I'm looking around here, it's a very big place, but there are very few people, and I understand it takes only a small number of people to actually operate all this.
Yeah, it's all, it's nearly all automated. There are some things that have to be done, but the actual process itself is completely automatic, and it can be monitored from off-site. So there's only somebody here Monday to Friday till about 4 o'clock, and after that, it's just monitored by the telemetry overnight. Nobody here, unless there's a breakdown or a call out. Then yes, typically there's three or four people working each day.
Now, we mentioned about the long dry spell. Well, I think we're now into our third or fourth week of it, really, and it's predicted to carry on for another week. Is that of any concern?
It's not of any concern. I know there's a little bit of concern in the UK because some water companies are already feeling the pinch. It's early in the season, so we're just being cautious, really, because we started a campaign, didn't we, last week, Use Water Wisely, because that helps us. I think we're at 86% now, which is less than normal for this time of year, but not a level that's a great concern yet, you know.
So for the time being, people can happily water their gardens and wash their cars.
Yeah. We just try to encourage sensible use, really. But we're not saying don't water your gardens yet or anything like that. No sign of a hosepipe ban on the horizon, that's for sure.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.